Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Bhajana Ranjanam. Yashoda Nandana Bhajana Ranjanam. Unati Ravana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Consider the prayers too. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parinipraja Kadesh Ashwasa Srimad Chilip Bhakti Vansam Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kuch Vaishnava Brinda Ki Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naran Chaiva Naruttamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Srimatam Svagata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Tridiyantasthi Abhadrani Subhidunoti Sarat Satam Nashta Prayashu Badreshu Hityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishriti Om Ajnana Timranda Signana Jan Shalakya Chakshuran Minitamya Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chitani Mano Vishnu Saktamina Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamim Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Krupa Sindhubhya Chapatitanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudevaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 5, Akanta 5, Chapter 19, Title, Description of the Island of Jambudvipa. We are reading verse 28. Yadi yatra na svarga sukhavasheshitam svishtasya suktasya kritasya shobanam tena janabe smritimad janmanasya varshe hariryad bhajatam shamtanoti. Yadi yatra na svarga sukhavasheshitam svishtasya suktasya kritasya shobanam tena janabe smritimajanabaha. Varshe Hariryad Pajatam Shamtanoti Yadi Yatra Nasvarga Sukhavasheshitam Shvishtasya Suktasya Kritasya Shobanam Tena Janabe Smriti Majjanmanasya. Varshe Hariya Bhajatam Shantanoti. Yadi Yatra Nasvarga Sukhavasheshitam. Shvishtasya Suktasya Kritasya Shobhanam. Tena janabe smritimajjanmanasya varshe hairyad bhajatam shamtanote. Hare Krishna. Translation by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivinoda Prabhupada ki jai. We are now living in the heavenly planets. Oh, sorry. Word to word meaning. Yadi. If. Atra. In the heavenly planets. In, na. Of us. Swarga shuksuka avasheshitam. Whatever remains of the after the enjoyment of heavenly happiness. Suishtasya. Of a perfect sacrifice. Suuktasya. Of a diligent of diligently studying the Vedic literature. Kritasya. Of having performed a kind act. Shobhanam. The resultant actions. Tena. By such a resultant action. Ajnabe. In the land of Bharata Varsha. Smritimat Janma. A birth enabling one to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Na. Offers. Syat. Let there be. Varshe. In the land. Harihi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet. Wherein. Bhajatam. Of the devotees. Shamtanoti. Expands the auspiciousness. Translation. We are now living in the heavenly planets. Undoubtedly, as a result of our having performed ritualistic ceremonies, pious activities and yajnas, and having studied the Vedas. However, our lives here will one day be finished. We pray that at that time, if any merit remains from our pious activities, we may again take birth in the Bharata Varsha as human beings able to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord is so kind that He personally comes to the land of Bharata Varsha and expands the good fortune of its people. Purport. It is certainly as a result of pious activities that one takes birth in the heavenly planets. But from those planets, one must nevertheless come down again to the earth. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Even the demigods must return to earth to work like ordinary men when the results of their pious activities expire. Nevertheless, the demigods desire to come to the land of Bharata Varsha if even a small portion of the merits of their pious activities remains. In other words, to take birth in Bharata Varsha, one must perform more pious activities than the demigods. In Bharata Varsha, one is naturally Krishna conscious, and if one further cultivates his Krishna consciousness by the grace of Krishna, he certainly expands his good fortune by becoming perfect in Krishna consciousness and very easily going back home, back to Godhead. In many other places in the Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bharata Varsha. A foolish person may desire to be promoted to the heavenly planets as a result of his pious activities. But even the demigods from the heavenly planets want to come to Bharata Varsha and achieve bodies that may be very easily used to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Therefore, శ్రీ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు రిపీటెడ్లీ సేస్ భారత భూమిలే హోయిల మనుష్య జన్మయా జన్మ సార్థక కోరి కురు పరోపకార్. A human being born in the land of Bharatavarsha has a special prerogative to develop Krishna consciousness. Therefore, those already born in the Bharatavarsha should take the lessons from the Shastras and Guru and should fully take advantage of the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to be fully equipped with Krishna consciousness. By taking full advantage of Krishna consciousness, one goes back home, back to Godhead. Yanti mad yajinopi mam. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore spreading this facility to human society by opening many, many centers all over the world so that people may associate with the pure devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement, understand the science of Krishna consciousness, and ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. Daita Prabhu told me to finish the remaining three short verses with one paragraph purport so that we can end the chapter, and in the next class he will start the next chapter, chapter 20, studying the structure of the universe. So the remaining verses are, this is Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, it's a prose. My dear king, in the opinion of some learned scholars, eight smaller islands surround Jambudvipa. When the sons of Maharaj Sagara were searching all over the world for their lost horse, they dug up the earth, and in this way, eight adjoining islands came into existence. The names of these islands are Swarnaprastha, Chandra Shukla, Avartana, Ramanaka, Mandarharina, Panchajanya, Simhala, and Lanka. Purport. In the Kuma Purana, there is this statement about the desires of the demigods. Anadikarino deva swargastha bharatodbhavam vanchanti atma vimokshartha mudrekarte adhikarinah. Although the demigods are situated in the exalted positions in the heavenly planets, they nevertheless desire to descend to the land of Bharatavarsha on the planet Earth. This indicates that even the demigods are unfit to reside in Bharatavarsha. Therefore, if persons already born in Bharatavarsha live like cats and dogs, not taking full advantage of their birth in this land, they are certainly unfortunate. Next verse, translation. My dear King Parikshit, O best of the descendants of Bharata Maharaj, I have thus described to you, as I myself have been instructed, the island of Bharatavarsha and its adjoining islands. These are the islands that constitute Jambudvipa. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 5th canto, 19th chapter Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled A Description of the Island of Jambudvipa. Hare Krishna. I beg for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here. I'm not really qualified to give a class, but Jai Jagannath Prabhu and Nityananda Pran Prabhu are in India, so I'm covering for them. So today is a auspicious day, as we discussed in the morning. So there might be a quiz. I won't probably speak about Vasanta Panchami. Today is nowhere close to the first day of spring in Chicago. We have some time to go there, but usually on that day, the deities are to celebrate spring. The deities in Mayapur and other places in India offer many flowers, leaves, and new shoots of grass to mark a beginning. But today is the appearance of Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi. She is she was the consort of Lord Chaitanya before he took sannyas. So she, after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, she lived with Mother Sachi in Mayapur, Navadvip. She lived a very austere life, tougher than what most renunciants do. She was chanting one round of Hare Krishna mantra, and she was putting one grain of rice aside. So how many ever rounds she finishes that day, those many grains of rice she would cook and offer to Lord Chaitanya, and that would be her meal. So it's tough for us to follow. She is Lakshmi Devi. She is the internal energy of the Lord. That's just an example. And today is also the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He is one of the acharyas in our parampara, the parampara Prabhupada list. His works have influenced Bhaktivinoda Thakur a lot, and his commentaries on Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are still used. Prabhupada builds upon them extensively. When we read about what we read every day in our purpose, a lot of them comes from his commentaries. So we are very grateful to him, and we also sing Guru Vashtaka every day in the morning. The Samsara Dhavanala prayers are written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Today is also the appearance of another special devotee called Srila Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Pundarika Vidyanidhi is in the Goloka Vrindavan. So most of these devotees have an eternal form in Goloka Vrindavan, and they came along with Lord Chaitanya to assist him in his pastimes. In Goloka Vrindavan, his form was Rishabhanu, the father of Radharani. So he came here. The most important pastime devotees generally discuss in regarding to him is how he met his future disciple Gadadhar Das, who is one of the Panchatattvas. So interestingly, Gadadhar Das in spiritual world is Radharani, and here he came as his disciple. So basically, Mukunda, who is another associate of Lord Chaitanya, was telling to Gadadhar Das, I mean, this person, Pundarika Vidyanidhi, came from a different place. He is a good Vaishnava. Do you want to check out? Basically, yeah, sure. So they both went to his house. And when they went to his house, Pundarika Vidyanidhi was seated on soft bed. His hair was long and elaborately decorated. He was wearing expensive garments. It doesn't say what he was smoking, but he was smoking something in a pipe. And so obviously, as we know, chanting 16 rounds, following four later principles. And Lord Chaitanya was very strict on renunciation principles. He says, balana kaiba ara balana paribe. He says, don't eat too much, don't dress too well. So Gadadhar was very perplexed. I mean, why am I here? So Mukunda thought that this person is committing an offense. He doesn't really know who Pundarika Vidyanidhi is. Then he sang a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Does someone know the verse? It's a beautiful verse, yeah. Let me sing the Sanskrit. It's a beautiful verse. Aho bakiyam stanakala kotam jigam sayapayan api asadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tadonyam kamva dayalam sharanim rajame. Aho means alas. Baki, sister of Bakar, Putana. Yam stana kalakutam, who came with breast filled with kalakuta poison. It's a very dangerous poison. Jigam shaya, I mean, out of envy, she did nourish that kind of poison, apaya, she nourished that kind of poison to Lord Krishna. But that, to that asadvi, I mean to that unfaithful person, what did she get? Lebe means she got gatim datri uchitam. She got it. Gatim means destination. Datrim uchitam. Datrim means nurse. She got a position of nurse to this personality. Who was this personality? This personality was someone came to him and was fed with Kalakuta poison, with full of envy. But just because she fed something from her breast, she got a position of nurse in the supreme planets. I mean, tatunyam kamvadayalyam means tatunyam means who else other than this person is merciful? I mean, what else can be mercy if this is not mercy? Is there any higher mercy than this? Sharanam vrajame, to that person I will fully surrender. So as soon as Mukunda sang this prayer from Bhagavatam, so Pundarik Vidyanadhik showed a completely different side of him. He threw away all his all the things he was holding, disheveled his hair. He went into ecstatic symptoms which we never see usually. Like those touch symptoms were exhibited only in the Bhava and Prema stage, often by Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So he disheveled his hair, tore his garments, rolled on the floor crying for Krishna. So such was his love for Krishna. And then Gadadhar basically realized his offense, and then and there he requested him to be his spiritual master. So there are several other pastimes of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, but I just wanted to say a few words about each of them to mark this auspicious day. And then today is also the appearance day of Raghunandan Thakur. He is the devotee of Mukunda. We just talk about, he is the son of Mukunda. More description about him is in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila. And today is the appearance of one of our acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami. He is one of the six Goswamis. He is known for his he is known for his renunciation, and his life is actually very relevant to a lot of us here. When he approached Lord Chaitanya first for renunciation, he was instructed, be where you are for now and worship me, or do your devotional service as if a paramour does. So be very diligent in whatever you're doing in your material activities. But the mood is that you're doing it only so that those people won't get doubt about that you have a secret love. So your real love, secret love, is worshipping Krishna. But while doing that, but then when he renounced, Lord Chaitanya said, there'll be a time when you renounce. He went to Vrindavan. He was constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day he would sing verses of Bhagavatam to the local residents. And he had a great love for all Vaishnavas. He would never see any fault in any Vaishnavas. And it is under his inspiration that in Vrindavan they built the Radha Govind temple, and the Radha Govind deities were there. So yeah, I just wanted to say something about these great personalities who had their appearances, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur who had his disappearance today. So coming to the verse, yadi atrana swarga sukhavasheshitam. Yadi means if, atra is in the heavenly planets, na of us, swarga sukha avash, swarga is heavenly planets and sukha is happiness. Avasheshitam means if anything is left. So the demigods are praying, if anything is left after us enjoying the heavenly planets and having us having all the pleasure we have. So by the way, where are we? I mean, why did demigods come in description of Jambudvipa? So what's the context of this verse? Okay, so as we discuss in the next verse, Shukadeva Goswami was telling about Jambudvipa to Parikshit Maharaj, and he was describing also how different residents of different in Jambudvipa there are different varshas. This worship, he was telling how residents of different varshas are praying to Supreme Lord. In the Kim Purusha Varsha, that is how this chapter started, they are praying to Lord Ram. So regarding when it came to Bharata Varsha, he started narrating an interaction between Narada and a Manu called Savarna Manu, Savarni Manu. So this Manu is not the present Manu, so it must be a different Mahayuga than this Mahayuga. So it happened, this interaction happened several years ago, and Shukadeva Goswami was quoting Narada Pancharatra. So Narada was describing how glorious is Bharata Varsha to him, and as part of that description to Savarni Manu, he was telling how the demigods are praying about the glories of a human life in Bharata Varsha. So that's why the demigods are praying, if there is anything left for us after somehow coming into these heavenly planets, left out of what? Suishtasya means suishtasya, of a perfect sacrifice. Suuktasya, ukta means like Shukadeva vacha, Prahlada vacha. So similarly, after reading Vedic literatures spoken by great sages, kritasya, out of having performed a kind act, shobanam, like whatever comes out of all these activities, like sacrifices, reading Vedic scriptures, performing great activities, heroic activities, or pious activities of yajnas, etc. To doing all this, if anything is left, so they are building the temple to ask. Tena ajanabe means by such resultant action. Ajanabe, it's interesting, the word used is ajanabe. Ajanabe is the old name for Bharata Varsha. So that perhaps has some association with the fact that Narad Muni is speaking this to a different Manu. So Ajanabe is basically in the land of Bharata Varsha, but it's an old name. Smritimat Janma means they're basically asking, I want a birth where I could be in constant remembrance of the Lord. Let there be. I mean, we want only that. And they're very sure that in Bharata Varsha, if they're born, they can have that remembrance of the Lord. Why are they sure that they can have remembrance of the Lord? This is why they are sure. That's the last line. Varshe, in that land, Harir Yad, in that land, Lord Hari does this. Bhajatam, once means one who is worshipping, Shamtanoti, he expands the auspiciousness. In this land of Bharata Varsha, there are a lot of devotees. And wherever there are devotees, Lord Krishna comes there in various forms, Rama de Murtish, in various forms, he comes there to expand the auspiciousness. So that's the glory of Bharata Varsha, and we have been discussing about it all over the time. So in the purport, Prabhupada writes that the demigods desire to come to the land of Bharatavarsha if even a small portion of the merits of their pious activities remain. He quotes the Bhagavad Gita verse, Shine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. So it comes from the verse 921 in Bhagavad Gita. It says basically, when they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly pleasure and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So, the essence is that one should not aspire to go to heavenly planets, because the way it works with heavenly planets is, it's not an eternal thing. It's like going on a credit card to a resort. Once you are maxed out, you have to come back again to work and build your, pay your bills and everything. So who wants to go there? It's a very temporary thing. So the word, often we hear the word heaven many places. It has a factual reality. At the same time, we also should be careful to apply it practically. What it means in this life, of course, for the next life, we shouldn't pray to Krishna, send me to heaven, send me to a place where there is a lot of merry. But in this life also, we shouldn't seek temporary situations which are just full of material happiness. We should rather be focused on staying, like the demigods are praying her, Smritimat Janma, means wherever I could be, I could enjoy the remembrance of Lord. And Bhajatam, Bhajatam means wherever the devotees are worshipping the Lord. So rather than, of course all of you are way better at this than me, and but just to set an example, just so that I have to speak, I'm speaking, but we should try to be at places where there is constant remembrance of the Lord, where the activities of devotional service are going on, like in the temple, because there it's natural for us to progress in devotional service. If we try and go to a place outside or a place which is very far from devotees and be isolated, even if it is temporarily very convenient, even if they're offering you lot of comforts, they could mean a lot of people. So whatever they means to you, the personal application from whenever we hear these verses is that we should choose association of devotees, even if it is austere, even if it is not heavenly, even if there are some issues and so on. We should prefer to live with devotees because there is remembrance of the Lord here. If we are not applying it in this life, if in this life we think, hey, let me be what's the word used by that? I had an interaction with a devotee. He said, I have some basic needs. And his idea of basic need is to have a bungalow for himself and a car for himself and a lot of space with not many devotees around. So basically, we should not want those kinds of basic needs. Even if it is a little austere, we should live with devotees. We should see that our family members are devotees, etc. There is another description in the purport that in many other places in the Vedic literature, it is found that even the demigods want to come to this land of Bharatavarsha. Someone wants to pick some examples of where else in Vedic scriptures that you read where demigods are praying, where demigods are wanting to come to Bharatavarsha. Mm-hmm. Descended. Yep. That's true. It happened with Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It happened with Lord Krishna's pastimes. It happened with Lord Ram's pastimes. A lot of the, lot of his associates were actually demigods. Like Hanuman was an amsha of air, and like that, there are different pastimes. Like Haridas Thakur was Brahman, like that. So in our daily prayers, we also sing in Gaurarati, Bosi Ache Gorachan Ratna Simhasane. So while he was sitting there, so Gaurarati prayers come from his Mahaprakash Leela. So all the devotees were approaching him. So that's the only time when Lord Chaitanya agreed to take the role of Supreme Personality of Godhead. At other times, he was just like a humble devotee. He was telling devotees not to see him as God. It's only during Mahaprakash Leela that all devotees were approaching him and offering him prayers. And then who were offering him arati? What's the line? Arati kore Brahma. Yeah, so Brahma was leading all demigods who were offering prayers to Lord Chaitanya. And in the end, who were singing? In the last verse it says, Shiva, Shuka, Narada. So these other demigods were, I mean, they're more than demigods, Shiva and Narada, but Prime Gada Gada. They were all singing. So they basically came from the higher planets, like that. And so a similar description was there in Jagai Madai pastimes. So these two brothers, Jagai and Madai, who were born in a Brahmin family, or supposedly Brahmin family, but they became rich. There isn't a single sin they did not do. They're the most sinful people you can imagine. If there is a sin they didn't do, they would seek out that sin. Those kind of people, it was difficult for anyone to keep track of their sinful activities. So they were delivered by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. It was possible only in Kali Yuga. So when they were delivered, I'm not going into the details because we're going to have Nityananda Trayodashi soon, and one of the specials of Nityananda Trayodashi is a drama on Jagai Madai, so I don't want to play a spoiler. So but basically the idea is, when that happened, the demigods were astonished. They were basically tracking their sins, which was like they couldn't count. I mean, how many of the books they write about the sinful activities, it was just going on. And after they became devotees, it's nothing. So they were kind of astonished. And it's not in Bhagavatam, the glories of Lord Chaitanya are very succinctly described, only in one or two verses. But in addition to having a human form, in addition to having a birth in Bharatavarsha, being born in, more than these things, being born in Kali Yuga, and having access to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the name of holy, in the form of holy name, brought to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, that is, demigods are much more, way more jealous of that than just any other opportunity, than just the human life in any Bharata worship. This particular time is called the Golden Age. This particular span of immediately following Lord Chaitanya. Technically, in the grand scheme of things, we are contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya. So in that sense, to be born in the age of Lord Chaitanya is something demigods would die to have. because the Supreme Personality Godhead gave us the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and chanting that is something anyone can do, and we don't need to do severe austerities for 10,000 of years like they did in Satya Yuga or Yajnas, where you just have to spell every syllable precisely. If you misspell a syllable, you get the opposite result. That was in Treta Yuga, or you don't have to do elaborate deity worship. We were discussing other day how austere it is for us to change our sweatshirts before approaching Tulsi or doing Guru Puja. So think of deity worship. Think of deity worship as a much higher standard than that. So all of those are very tough compared to chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So the demigods are very looking forward to that. In fact, many people might be demigods, I don't know, those who are practicing Krishna consciousness. Like it's said in the purport, that people go to heavenly planets, and when there are pious activities, is there any resultant actions left, then they want to come to Bharata Varsha. So it is not improbable to say that some devotees might be demigods, but some of them, it is just causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And so this is about the last point. Varshe Harer Yad Bhajatam Sham Tanoti. The Lord is so kind that he personally comes to the land of Bharata Varsha and expands the good fortune of its people. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4 verse 8, the Lord lists three reasons why he appears age after age. What are the reasons? Yeah, dharma samsthapanardaya. Paritranaya sadhuna. That's one reason, to deliver the pious. The second reason, annihilate the miscreants. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Third reason, dharma samsthapanardaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. So these three are said to be the reasons, but Prabhupada writes in the purport, as far as the atheistic are concerned, it is not necessary for Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish demons, but the Lord especially descends to appease his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by demoniac. The demon harasses the devotee. So he gives example of Prahlad Maharaj, and basically the point is, therefore it is said that to deliver the devotee in, so the point is, I'm not reading the whole purport, the point is, the main reason Lord comes is to have this interactions with his devotees, loving interactions with his devotees, and to increase their happiness in bhakti. That's the main reason he comes to the world. And punishing or annihilating the miscreants, it happens, but it's more like a side reason. If that's the only thing he wanted, he just had to create a tsunami. He didn't really have to come by himself like that. So, and especially in this age, Lord Chaitanya came as the Yuga Avatar. He basically did two things at the same time. It isn't like there are a lot of people with so much of piety within them that he's coming to them. He's actually coming to preach and also have an interaction with them. And his idea of annihilating the miscreants is not actually killing them, but transforming them. So Lord Chaitanya brings this to a whole new level, where he is annihilating the miscreants just like Jagai and Madai by making the devotees. It's like killing the demoniac tendencies by giving them the process of devotional service. And then he is experiencing and showing practically devotional service through him like that. There are other prayers within Vedic scriptures where Lord Brahma prays, you should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities for the benefit of the whole universe. He has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency, like that. So, I think in the interest of time, I will just tell one small thing. And in the end, I think if someone hasn't read this, the translation and purport of this verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmaya, one should read it, it's a beautiful verse. Although it speaks about Bharata Varsha, it is practically applicable to a lot of everyone in the world, because I was talking to Lokanath Goswami once. He's a Padayatra devotee. He's one of the first Indian disciples of Prabhupada. I was talking to him in a very in a conceited way, as in a puffed up way. So yeah, I mean, you just spoke on this verse, Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janmaya. I feel very blessed that I'm born in India. He said, no, that doesn't necessarily refer to you. I mean, Bharata, being an Indian or being in the land of Bharata, refers to one who are taking the message of India seriously. It's not about having a skin and physical contour of an Indian. There are a lot of Westerners who read Bhagavad Gita as part of their courses, whereas we Indians, we only read Western philosophy, and we're only engrossed in how to become good engineers and doctors mostly. So people who read Gita and Bhagavatam, who have a natural taste for Vedic scriptures, it's not that it's in recent times, even people, the transcendentalists like Thoreau and Emerson, they have been into Indian teachings. So being an Indian means one who takes seriously the teachings of India. It's not necessarily, that was Loknath Goswami saying to me. So you should become an Indian, you should not take your country's teachings seriously, like that. There is another pastime the end Prabhupada says that we are now started this Krishna consciousness movement, so that everyone can go back home, back to Godhead. In relation to this, once Prabhupada visited Britain during one of his worldwide preaching tours, and to give the context, India became independent from England or Britain, whatever, or United Kingdom. There's so many names because their geography changed rapidly. So in only like 20 years back, before Prabhupada visited Britain. So one reporter, you know how the English are, when they ask a question, they have, it's always very polite, but it might have a lot of intent and meaning into that question. So the reporter asked, what is the purpose of your visit? The intent of the question is, there's so many Indians settling in the English area now. We know that English is more rich, so are you also coming like that? English, that's okay. I mean, UK is a very rich place, and it's fine that you come like that. I mean, so what are you going to see, and what are you going to do? What are your activities going to be? That was the intent of the reporter's question, although it was very polite. So Srila Prabhupada replied, because he understood it. So he said, actually, Britain, they ruled us for about, I'm paraphrasing here, the Britain ruled us for 200 years, and they stole a lot of valuable wealth, like the Kohinoor diamond, lot of cotton, tea, spices, lot of labor, etc., so on and so forth. They stole a lot of wealth, but they forgot to take India's most precious jewel. That they did not do. So Srila Prabhupada so informed that reporter that, so I came to actually give you that also, because you forgot that. You forgot to take that away from our country, so I want to give that to you. I want to make sure you have the timeless wisdom of Vedic literature also with you. We don't want you to not have anything from us. So that's how he replied. So that's it. I'm sorry if I've been... If I said something that's incorrect, please correct me, and thanks for tolerating me. Hare Krishna.
you very much for the beautiful class. I just want to appreciate one point, that how the association of devotees is very important. That even if there are some austerity, we should stay together, because that helps us to build our Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
That's very important, Prabhu.
Thank you so much. It's important for me to hear that.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for your explanation. Here, Vaishnava saints like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I want to add something, you know. He was so much so scholar that one time what happened, then there was a turmoil is going on, you know, in Jaipur. That means how, you know, we had in our Vaishnava society, you know.
With the Ramanandis.
Yeah, there with Ramanandis, that is how it was going on, you know, that trouble was that there was no commentaries, you know, on this Vaishnava philosophy.
Commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra,
yeah,
I guess.
Vedanta Sutra, yeah. Then they came to hear, and to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, his guru was, what is his name? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so old, you know, he was in intense mood in his devotion.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to leave Vrindavan, not to go and to, but he sent his disciple Baladev Vidyabhushan. And Baladev Vidyabhushan, you know, he defeated them with, you know, so many arguments, and then still they insisted, you know, to present some philosophy and commentaries. Then with the Baladev Vidyabhushan, by mercy of Govindji, then he wrote Govinda Bhashya. Is very, yeah, very authentic and very, you know. Another thing also, regarding another saint you told, what was his name? Lokanath Goswami?
Pundarik Vidyanidhi.
No,
Raghunath Das Goswami.
Oh yeah, Raghunath Das Goswami. Yeah, he was so blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave him personal, you know, one gunjberry garland and one Sila from the, you know, Govardhan Sila. That still it is there in Gokulananda temples. And how Lord Chaitanya robbed, you know, in ecstasy, that mark you can find, still it is there. You know, this Raghunath Goswami was very so much dear to Lord Chaitanya. It is said also Raghunath Das Goswami, he used to sleep very little. He was so wrapped in, you know, chanting, and he's doing his sadhana all the times. Hardly sometimes he was not able to sleep also, 24 hours. Can you believe that he was practicing Krishna consciousness so austerely? And regarding another comment also, regarding the Jambudip, this question is coming, if you know, this is here, it is described as seven islands, you know. Seven islands, that is marked by this, you know, the dog, what is that, son of Sagara.
Sagara,
in order to search their horse lost, you know, because it became islands. But whether it is inside the Bharatavarsa or it is around the Bharatavarsa, the question is...
Well, you're asking a question. I'm not well versed in the topic. Daita Prabhu and others are better equipped to answer it. You want to take that?
Dhanavi Maharaja's video on the Vedic cosmology, it shows Jambudvip, and then the region Varsha, the Bharata Varsha, which is on the bottom, on the south portion of Jambudvip. It's shown in his video that portion on the bottom is divided up into nine islands, one of which is the Earth globe. That's how he depicts it. Of course, different. It's depicted differently according to which source you're reading, but that's kind of how, I think that's what that refers to in this verse about the sagaras.
Actually, that is, in this canto 5, and if you go back, you know, in chapter 16, then there they say, you know, that is the Jambudip, you know, is surrounded by, you know, seven islands, like just like the whorl of a lotus flower. No?
Mm-hmm.
So that means how this, what you told, no, this is nine division is there. Yeah. These divisions are called as varsha. Like one of the varsha, one of the division is like Kim Purusha varsha.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you described. Yeah. Then also Bharata varsha is one of them.
Great.
And similarly, other also seven varshas are there.
Are there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so this.
But I think the most important point is we are in Bharata varsha, and Prabhupada translates it as India. And it's true that India is very glorious. Krishna has his pastimes in Indian subcontinent, practically in India, Dwaraka in Gujarat, and Vrindavan in Uttar Pradesh. And similarly, Lord Ram has had his pastimes in India. So it's important for us to read the message that comes from India, which is Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and sometimes also visit the dhams in India. It's one of the five items of devotional service recommended by Lord Chaitanya, visiting and living for some time in the dhams. And another practical application is just like Loknath Goswami corrected me and said that India is where people take the message of India seriously. Similarly, dham is the place where devotees of Krishna or Vishnu live. So this place is no different from a dham. That's why we call it New Seva Kunja Dham. ISKCON Chicago is a New Seva Kunja Dham. Prabhupada had his DT here and has his DT here. Lot of exalted Vaishnavas who come to the temple. Lot of devotees maintain this temple. It's not possible to maintain such a temple without some amount of devotional service, without pure devotees visiting us regularly. And the main purport of this verse is the Lord appears where devotees are there to increase their auspiciousness, to increase their spiritual happiness. So the place where we are living now is non-different from a dham, and it's an offense to the deities in one sense to think that it's so. But at the same time, we always say Vrindavan and Mayapur are very special, and we should try and visit Vrindavan and Mayapur sometimes. It's also good to be connected to devotees all over the world. So Mayapur is considered holier by some people than Jagannath Puri, but people from Mayapur used to visit Jagannath Puri very often. When Lord Chaitanya was there, they weren't thinking that Lord Chaitanya had his appearance there. So we should also visit the dhams in India regularly. At the same time, live in the temple and serve the temple, or live close to the temple and serve the temple with the mood of serving Krishna as if it's a dham, and it is actually a dham. It's me and living in New Seva Kunja Dham. Any other comments, questions? Otherwise, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.